Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, it's all about Karl-Anthony Towns' season. Just how much better was Kat during this past season than he had been in previous years? Does he deserve the All-NBA nod? Where did he improve the most, and where does he still need to make a jump if the Wolves are going to make a jump as a team moving forward? It's all upcoming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek, and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Today on the show, we are breaking down Karl-Anthony Towns' season. He's the last season player review that we're doing here on the show, and can't wait to get to it. First, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's Locked On T-Wolves, don't forget the T, and at B-Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so we've gone through the entire roster except for Karl-Anthony Towns. We've done a segment on some players, two segments on some, full shows on a couple, and here we are, Karl-Anthony Towns. We went from the bottom of the roster in terms of minutes played towards the top, and we're going to talk all about Kat today. And I want to kind of start in general with the feeling of what Karl-Anthony Towns was as a player coming into this season, because obviously all NBA back in 2017-2018, which was also his first All-Star season, that was the Jimmy Butler year, phenomenal all-around year. Interestingly, take out his rookie year, it was his worst year in terms of per-game average, assists per game, like all the per-game stuff, right? Because he was playing with Jimmy Butler, so the usage rate's way down, etc. He has the next All-Star year the following season, when the Wolves don't have Jimmy Butler's traded during that year, the bottom kind of falls out midseason. And then, of course, the COVID year gets hurt that season, doesn't make the All-Star team. The following year, which was last season, hurt again. The Timberwolves are disappointing, only plays in 50 games out of, I guess, just a potential 72, doesn't make the All-Star team again. So the feeling of Kat coming into this year was this is in some ways, it's obviously a little dramatic because he's 26 years old coming into this season, somewhat of a make or break year, at least in terms of national perception, right? He's got to get back to that All-NBA caliber player. Can he lead a team to the playoffs as the guy without an established star like Jimmy Butler? Because to this point, he hadn't. And if you listen to national podcasts or watch national shows or the talking head shows, the debate shows, whatever, they don't talk about Karl-Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves much, but when they do, or NBA and TNT, the halftime show, any of that stuff, the perception of Towns is always, it's really interesting because you've got like one set of people that's like, well, obviously he's one of the most talented bigs ever, yada, 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 look at the numbers, and perhaps overrates him a little bit, although I don't think we've gotten much of that the last couple seasons. And then we've got a much larger and louder segment of people who seem to completely undervalue Kat because he doesn't get it done in big moments or empty stats or, doesn't make it matter on the defensive end of the floor or plays too far from the basket if you listen to a certain, certain former players. But I think a lot of those takes miss the point. Now, up until this season, defensively, that would have been a fair critique of Karl-Anthony Towns. The defense simply has not been there, team defense, individual defense, other than a couple of blips. I think the Butler year, there was a stretch where he was pretty good. He's shown the ability, right? Going all the way back to his rookie year. Remember the clip that was played over and over ad nauseum about him stopping Steph Curry on the perimeter on a switch. I think it was his rookie season, maybe year two. Either way, he's 20 or 21 years old. Everyone knew that the ability in terms of lateral quickness, intelligence, overall size was there. But would the whole package come together in the NBA, right? Would he be able to figure it out at the same time and also be physically capable of executing some of these different schemes? He was stuck in the drop scheme forever with David Vanterpool as the associate head coach and defensive coordinator under Ryan Saunders. And I mean, the drop scheme did not work with Karl. We'll get more into the defense specifically later, but I'm a little bit off track here, but the national perception was he doesn't get it done defensively, empty stats offensively, and yet here the Timberwolves are making a 23-game leap, outperforming their over-under, their win total by like 11, 11 to 13, depending on which book you look at. And I mean, Anthony Edwards is great. He gets a lot of the national attention, and rightfully so. He's fantastic. He's 21. He's dynamic. But there's no question Karl-Anthony Towns remains this team's best player. And even though some of the advanced stats or some of the on-off numbers and some of the net rating stuff, it all agrees that Towns had a good season, but the on-off stuff isn't all that encouraging. And you could point to any number of reasons for why Towns wasn't great defensively if you look at some of the advanced metrics. But if you watched the Timberwolves night in and night out, you knew how important Karl-Anthony Towns was to what the Timberwolves were doing defensively. And I think that gets lost a lot of times on the national commentators for, you know, the Bill Simmons and Ryan Russellos, for instance, who pop in to watch a couple games here and there, prepping for the playoffs and miss, the 60-point game is great against the Spurs. You know, everybody saw those highlights, but if they're seeing that and then they're seeing the Clippers playing game or, you know, snapshots here and there, the perceptions, oh, he has these peaks and valleys. That's not really what Towns is, right? Over the course of a season, everyone has those, maybe not quite as extreme as the Clippers game for Kat. Although the fact that we talked about that Clippers playing game, by the way, is as the worst game he's ever played, at least in recent memory, tells you how good he is, right? And then the peak of the 60-point game, obviously that's extreme too. But so much of what Kat does was actually really consistent. And that, I think, was one of the biggest things about his season, was the consistency of what he did on both ends of the floor. And we're going to get into that, specifically some of the numbers, a couple areas where he was surprisingly better this year and surprisingly, not worse, but did certain things less and other things more. And I think it's really interesting to look at some of these numbers here at the end of the season. We'll look at two-man lineups, all that stuff here in just a second. So that's what we're going to do here today on the show. First, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. I love brownies, but you know what I love even more than brownies? Brownie batter. Sometimes I can eat half the batter just while I'm making brownies. Imagine if you could lick the brownie spatula clean and get protein. Well, you're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. The brownie batter puff is fantastic. It takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. Have you tried Built Puffs yet? If you're not, I don't know what you're waiting for. Puffs are a chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate with only 140 calories, but also 17 grams of protein and only 7 grams of sugar. Brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. Plus, all Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. While you eat Built Bars, you'll be eating healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Plus, they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The brownie batter puffs will have you completely forgetting that you're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. Go to Built.com to get brownie batter puffs right now. That's Built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, we're in the midst or about to be in the midst of. We're at the start of draft season with the draft lottery behind us. We're about a month away from the draft. Be sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board show. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and of course, Big Boards. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, so let's talk about Karl-Anthony Towns' season in some more specifics. So one of the more interesting things about his year is if you're a casual fan or you're not a Timberwolves fan, you're just scrolling box scores, whatever, the per-game numbers are actually down. And there's a couple of reasons for that. We'll get into it. But the points per game were down slightly. The rebounds per game were down by almost a full rebound. The assists per game down by almost a full assist. And so at first glance, it's like, wait a minute. How's he going to be third team All-NBA this year, which it's not been announced, but I think he will be. How's he going to be third team All-NBA this year? He wasn't even an all-star last year, and the numbers are done. Well, the shooting percentages are way up. He shot 4.3% better from the field this year than last year. He shot 41% from three, was 38.7 last year, which, by the way, was his worst mark in four seasons prior. So he improved his outside stroke by 2.3 points. So overall, 4.3 points from outside, 2.3 points better this season than last. He got to the free throw line with a lot more frequency. Obviously, the two-point percentage itself was up quite a bit. The free throw rate was up quite a bit. All those things are positive and are far more important than the per game numbers, right? So I think that's important to note. The other thing that's interesting is he actually shot less three-pointers this year, and it felt like, it didn't feel like, the attempts did dwindle a little bit as the year went on. You'd have to go back to his second All-Star season, so the year prior to COVID, 18-19, was his next lowest three-point rate. The last two seasons, he was much higher. So the COVID-shortened season when he had all the injuries, only played 35 games, his three-point rate was a crazy 44.5%, meaning that that's exactly what it sounds like. His free throw rate was 0.445. So 44.5%, nearly half of his shot attempts were three-pointers. Last season, 36%, so more than a third of his shot attempts. This year, it was only 30.1%, so only 3 out of every 10 of his shot attempts were three-point attempts this year. However, he shot them in a much better clip, as I mentioned already, 41% from three, which is third best of his career, is 41.2 2 years ago. The only year he was significantly better was the All-NBA year, the Jimmy Butler year, where he was 42.1% from three, shot a lot less of them. He shot, the rate was essentially half what it was. Not quite half. He shot 3.5 a game. This year, he shot 5.3 per game in terms of three-point attempts. But the rate is way down from the last 2 years. The percentage is up. And that's, again, fantastic. The free throw rate, as I mentioned, was 0.385 this year. That means that for every field goal attempt he tried, he earned 0.385 free throw attempts. So that another way of looking at it is roughly 38.5% of the time he attempted a shot, he also was awarded a single free throw. It's not a trip to the line. It's a single attempt. The free throw percentage was slightly down to 82.2%, but I mean, we're above 80% here. He's right in line with his career of 83.3%. So the free throw rate being up is super important. What does that tell us? Well, Towns shot a lot more in close this year for a couple of reasons. Early in the year, there were more post-ups. Late in the year, it was a lot more straight line drives. The Timberwolves were giving him more touches on the perimeter, and he was starting possessions from the perimeter and getting into the paint, shooting from in close, and drawing a lot of fouls. Teams were trying to be physical with Cat, really on both ends of the floor, and with the Timberwolves in general on both ends of the floor. But Towns was constantly fighting through the physicality of opposing defenses. And while it seemed like he should have gotten to the free throw line even more than he did, and he should have, that free throw rate was up because he kept coming. The Timberwolves kept giving him the ball and said, hey, Cat, get to the rim, draw fouls, get to the line. That's where you're going to get some easy points. Not so easy in terms of getting bruised and battered and hacked half the time, you know, half of his trips down the floor. But getting to the free throw line and getting those freebies where he's a really good free throw shooter. The other thing is that his shot attempts, not only in the paint were they up, or I should say at the rim, but they were also up from 3 to 10 feet. It was actually the most shots he's ever attempted from 3 to 10 feet in his career. I'm going to find the exact, yeah. So, the best percentage he shot and the most he shot. So over a quarter of his shot attempts this year were between 3 and 10 feet away from the rim, according to Basketball Reference. So 25.5% of Cat's field goal attempts were from 3 to 10 feet. And he made almost 54% of them, which was easily, it was 4% higher than his next best season in terms of percentage from that spot on the floor. That meant he was shooting more floaters. He was shooting more runners. Partly because of the straight line drives and also partly because he got a lot of elbow touches, free throw line extended kind of mid-post touches, especially early in the season. Remember, it's harder to double team when you're in the middle of the floor. So Finch tried to give Towns the ball more frequently at the elbows early in the season. Teams still tried to double, and if he was in the mid-post, they were doubling. Made things a little bit more complicated. But if he had the opportunity to get a one-on-one or to split a double team and get to that 3 to 10 foot range, he was deadly effective from that spot on the floor. And again, getting to the free throw line with frequency was huge to Cat's game this season. So again, free throw attempts up, 3-point attempts down, the free throw rate up, three-point rate, down. More field goal attempts from at the rim and then also from 3 to 10 feet. And he just shot the ball better from there. He was just more of a rugged offensive game this season. I think that's really important. Another thing that's really interesting and this, I guess, maybe isn't surprising given the free throw attempts at the rim or the field goal attempts at the rim being higher. But this was Karl-Anthony Towns' highest dunk rate of any season since the Jimmy Butler year, the last All-NBA year in 2017-18. A little over 9%, 9.1% of Cat's shots this season were dunks. So, I mean, 30% of his shots were three-pointers, 9% were dunks. It's 39% of his shot attempts right there. And another quarter of them are from between 3 and 10 feet. So that tells you how few shots he was attempting from beyond 10 feet that weren't threes, right? So an efficient offensive game, threes, dunks, free throws. Obviously with Cat, there's a lot of layups and tip-ins and stuff like that too. But to see 9% of his shots be dunks is fantastic. For comparison, each of the last two seasons, he was about 6%, 6.1 and 6.4% to be exact. To see that number shoot up to 9.1%, again, the highest in five seasons since the Jimmy Butler season, is really, really great to see. It's a great sign. It shows that he generally was being more physical, being more active, trying to get to the basket and succeeding. And then the last thing, which is tied into all of this, is that this was Karl-Anthony Towns' lowest usage rate since that same Jimmy Butler year. Every other year since then, and for good reason, he was the absolute focal point. Not just the focal point, he was the Timberwolves' offense. Yeah, he played a little with D'Lo at the end of the 19-20 season, but not much, right? They weren't on the court together really at all. It was just a couple of games because of injuries and then COVID. Last year, similar story. Actually, last year was Cat's highest usage rate of his career, 29.1%. The usage rate was only down a couple of points to 27.8%, but he'd been between 28.8 and 29.1 each of the last 3 years. This was his lowest usage rate since the Butler year. Now, that year, it was a lot lower, but that shows that the Timberwolves were still running offense through Cat, but Anthony Edwards is getting more and more involved, and obviously D'Angelo Russell eats into that as well, and good to see the versatility from Cat as well, doing other things. I mean, the assist rate was down slightly, but that again was because the Timberwolves were often, if Towns was getting doubled, it wasn't the first pass where they got an open shot. It was the pass after that, or it was the pass in the cut, or Towns was hitting cutters. And part of the assist stuff is just missed shots by teammates, right? The whole first part of the year, the Wolves were miserable from deep. That's when Cat was getting double teamed a lot. By the time Towns was getting the ball and wasn't getting doubled and they went to more of a five out or putting Cat on the elbows, there weren't as many assist opportunities for Towns because he was simply facing up and going to the basket. So, of course, the assist rate was going to be a little bit lower. That's not really all that concerning to me. We'll talk about rebounding here next segment because I want to touch on the defense, and obviously the rebounding numbers were down. So I want to touch on that and two-man lineups here to close the show today, putting a bow on Towns' season and really also a little bit of context with where I feel like this season falls in terms of successful, not successful for Cat. How do we feel about Karl-Anthony Towns going into next season? Of course, he's going to be extension eligible, likely Supermax extension eligible. He will be Supermax eligible if he makes the All-NBA team, which I expect that he will. So we'll talk about all that here next. First, let's talk about our friends at betonline.net. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA playoffs, MLB scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. And speaking of NBA playoffs, the line for Friday night's game, Mavs at Warriors, Western Conference Finals Game 2. Of course, the Warriors have a commanding 1-0 lead. Well, the 1-0 lead maybe isn't as commanding as the actual result from the game on Wednesday, I guess it was. But the Warriors are 6.5-point favorites at home. Seems about right. It's actually maybe a half point lower than I was expecting. And then on Thursday, the Celtics pretty much blew out the Heat. They pulled away second quarter on, won by 25. The Celtics are 6-point favorites back in Boston with the series tied 1-1. And that game, of course, is Saturday evening. So a fun weekend of playoff basketball, but both with spreads over 6 points. So at any rate, betonline.net, be sure to check out betonline.net for all your sports betting. They're your continued source for all sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's close out the show by talking about Karl-Anthony Towns' defense this year and what the Wolves did differently, what Towns did differently, what that means moving forward. So I alluded to this earlier, but previously the Wolves played drop pick and roll coverage, right? So Towns is often reading the ball handler, but sagging back into the paint to prevent a dribble drive, to prevent the person, the ball handler, from getting an angle on, well, we're talking about Towns. So in this case, Towns, but on the big covering the pick and roll, right? You're not switching. You're not being super aggressive, but you're letting the offense come to you. This is what led to guards like D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving dropping 40, 50 plus points on the Wolves from the mid range if they're comfortable shooting from there, or Damian Lillard doing whatever he wanted against the Wolves, you know, a player who can score at all three levels very successfully. And opposing guards would just tear the Timberwolves to shreds. And it didn't help that they didn't have point guards who could contain contain opposing point guards off the dribble either, right? I mean, other than Ricky Rubio, you know, in his second stint in Minnesota, I mean, you look at Tyus Jones in a backup role was good, but D'Angelo Russell, I mean, the Wolves just haven't had guards. Jeff Teague struggled in recent years who really could contain the ball off the dribble very well. And now this year, and D'Angelo Russell is a great example of that. So what did the Wolves do this year? Chris Finch wanted to institute a high wall defensive scheme where they were not switching pick and rolls, but they weren't dropping. They were essentially just being aggressive and trying to force the ball handler to make a decision, then recover and guard your own man. As the year went on, they introduced some switching. They tried some zone, but they even did a little bit of drop, really not until like February, March, I think, is when they started doing a little bit of it. But the high wall scheme, the essentially the blitzing scheme on the perimeter, aggressively trying to basically trap the ball handler, force a tough pass, is the best use of Cat's talents because he's an intelligent player. He likes to be aggressive. He's long, and he has the ability to put ball pressure on guards. He's athletic enough to do that, and it's better suited for him than backpedaling. Believe it or not, being aggressive on the perimeter is a better recipe for Cat to stay out of foul trouble than backpedaling. He's prone to reaching, you know, trying to strip the ball before a guard goes up for a 12-foot jumper. That sort of thing was a nightmare. And also guards coming downhill at him. Cat's a good athlete, but you get, you know, I don't know, insert, you know, opposing guard, Damian Lillard, you know, whoever here, and backpedaling, them coming straight at you like a freight train, you're going to get into foul trouble. And that was a big issue. Now, of course, he still got into foul trouble all this year anyway. But the scheme, at if nothing else, part of the reason the Wolves went to high wall was to try and hide some of those foul issues for Towns. I think Towns did a really good job in this scheme. He had some games. There was the one playoff game against Memphis. It was one of the games he wasn't good offensively. He was phenomenal. He had two or three blocks in the first quarter, was super active defensively, and you know was getting hands in the passing lane, was actually doing a pretty good job on the glass. And it just, it's the best use of his talents and also a way to not hide him because really the Wolves tried to hide D'Angelo Russell defensively as they should. But it was a way to best utilize Towns where he wasn't the focal point. He wasn't the guy that opposing defenses could say, hey, we don't have to work to target Karl-Anthony Towns to get him into foul trouble. We'll just run our offense and we'll end up with our guard essentially one-on-one against Towns in the middle of the floor coming downhill. Teams couldn't do that anymore because Towns was playing the role on the perimeter of pressuring the ball, but he wasn't alone. He wasn't out on an island out there. And that's another thing that switching does is ultimately you can put yourself in a tough situation because the opposing team can target the matchup that they want. We saw that. The Timberwolves did that to target Ja Morant in the playoffs. We saw teams targeting D'Angelo Russell. Memphis did it in the playoffs quite frequently. So that's the advantage to the high wall is everyone's accountable to their role. And you can put Towns in the middle of your defense without making him super vulnerable, without making him a target. And you count on Jaden McDaniels and Jared Vanderbilt and Patrick Beverley and Anthony Edwards to be your free safeties, to be the guys who are you know plugging the passing lanes and getting you out in transition. And Towns can play that aggressive point of attack, essentially point of attack defender, being part of that high wall defense. And he played that really well. So if there's national folks who are talking about his defense, he had a good defensive year. The metrics don't tell the whole story in this case. I think he was very good defensively. It's also why his rebound numbers were lower, right? The per game numbers were very low in terms of rebounding. It was the first season of his career he did not average a double-double. He only averaged 9.8 rebounds per game. And you look at it rate-wise, it was way down as well. In fact, he had a 15.7% total rebound rate. His next lowest rebound rate was 16.8% 2 years ago. So 1.1 full points below his next lowest career rebound rate. The defensive rebound rate was down almost 3 full points from last year, which had been sliding down anyway. Back in his last All-NBA year with Jimmy Butler, he was almost 31% defensive rebound rate, meaning 31%, nearly a third of available defensive rebounds were grabbed by Karl-Anthony Towns. This year, it was only 23.6%, so less than a quarter of available defensive rebounds were grabbed by Karl-Anthony Towns. I talk about this on a team level all the time, that defensive rebounding is a major part of actual defense, because the way you end an opponent's possession is a turnover, a made shot, or a missed shot. Those are the only options. And if you're not generating a turnover, which the Wolves did a ton of, and you don't want to allow a made shot, you have to grab a defensive rebound. The scheme took Towns away from the rim. That's a huge part of it. He still has to do a little bit better in terms of being physical, holding his own, boxing out. He's not athletic enough to just simply out-rebound guys. He's got to outwork them. He's got to box them out. He's got to be smart about it and also stay out of foul trouble. But again, not a major concern for me. I think teammates are the bigger issue when it comes to team rebounding. Towns himself was just pulled away from the rim more often because of the defensive scheme. But the moral of the story here is Towns was improved defensively. This was a better scheme for him. He understood the scheme. He knew his role. He clearly latched on to the high wall coverage much quicker than he ever did to the drop coverage or any of the stuff that Tibbs ran as well, that Tom Thibodeau ran several years ago. Towns was much more comfortable in the high roll blitzing pick and roll scheme than he had been previously. Last thing, two-man lineups, really interesting here. Towns' best two-man lineups that are over, you know, you look at the players he played with most frequently, there were six players that Towns shared the floor with for over 1,000 minutes. And the best of those in terms of net rating is Jared Vanderbilt. In 1,400 minutes exactly over 69 games, Vando and Towns together had a +7 net rating, just slightly ahead of the 6.9 that Towns and Russell had. And then that's followed by Patrick Beverley, Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards, and Jaden McDaniels. In that order are the other players that Towns shared the court for over 1,000 minutes with. The only players that Towns had a negative net rating with were Naz Reid, which was only 84 minutes, which, by the way, I wanted them to play more together this season. I was surprised Finch didn't do it more often. Very small sample size, but it was not successful. A -10.3 in 84 minutes. And then just the 83 minutes he played with Leandro Balmaro was a -12. The only other one that was negative was Taurean Prince. Interestingly, 588 minutes together, which, by the way, was his seventh most frequent pairing in terms of two-man lineups. His seventh most frequent was Prince, and that was a -0.4. So barely negative, but a -0.4 in terms of net rating, which was a little bit of a surprise for me. But good to see the starting lineup plus Malik Beasley and Jaden McDaniels as positive net rating two-man lineups. Lots of good. To the Jalen Noel one, by the way, really good. That was his best, other than Nate Knight, who he played one game, 7 minutes with. His best was Jalen Noel, only 398 minutes, but a +12.4 with an offensive rating of 125.6 with Noel and Towns together. Nobody else. Towns didn't have a throwout Jake Layman. Towns didn't have an offensive rating of higher than 117 with anyone else. So 8.5 points higher with Jalen Noel than anybody else in terms of offensive rating. Obviously, that pairing has defensive issues, but Jalen Noel is a bucket and can legitimately score at all three levels. Karl-Anthony Towns, same thing. Those two in pick and roll together are absolutely dynamic. I'm willing to bet we see a little bit more of that next year if Jalen can figure out the defense just a little bit. Man, Jalen Noel and Karl-Anthony Towns are really, really fun pairing. All right, putting a bow on Towns' season, absolutely a successful season for Karl-Anthony Towns. He's going to be third team All-NBA. I know the per-game numbers are down. I know the rebounding is down. I know the foul trouble is frustrating. I know some of the playoff performance was frustrating. But Karl-Anthony Towns remains the Timberwolves' best player. This was his best season in 4 to 5 years. Probably the Jimmy Butler year. I would say the first Jimmy Butler year was the only other year you could seriously say he was better. Maybe his second All-Star campaign. But if nothing else, this was his best year in three seasons. He was vastly improved defensively. The team obviously loves him and knows that they're building around him. The synergy with Anthony Edwards and the way that those guys play together is inescapable. And it makes the Timberwolves a really, really good team. They won 46 games this year with that pairing. And yes, D'Angelo Russell was very good, but Towns and Edwards are, they're going to take this team wherever they're going to go. They're going to be the pairing. Towns is going to get his Supermax, I'm sure of that. Edwards is going to get his extension. That pairing is going to take the Wolves as far, the Wolves will go as far, I should say, as that pairing will take them. And Karl-Anthony Towns remains the best player on the team. We can argue about whose team it is, or is it his team, is it Ant's team? It doesn't really matter at this moment in time. As long as they can coexist, they can both be dynamic, be three-level scorers, be competitive defenders, this team's going to be much improved again next year. And Karl-Anthony Towns can continue to improve with his, again, it all comes down to the composure, to the ability to, the stray voltage term that Chris Finch famously mentioned related to Towns. If he can just focus himself on the court at, you know, doing the job at hand, then really the sky truly is the limit for Cat and for Ant and the Timberwolves as a team. A very successful season for Karl Anthony Towns. If he improves on this even a little bit next year, we're talking second team All NBA. I don't think that's far at all out of the question. Everybody knows it's in there for Cat, and it was fantastic to see him put much of it together for most of the season as well. All right, that's all we have for today here on the show. Next week, we're going to get into NBA draft mode. Unless there's any breaking news related to the Timberwolves front office situation, that's going to be what we're doing moving forward. So any of those rumors we'll obviously talk about, we'll cover some playoff stuff, but NBA draft is going to be primarily what the next few weeks of this show are all about. We got NBA, Lockdown NBA mock drafts upcoming and all that good stuff. So be sure you're tuned in to the show. Thank you for those of you that do make Lockdown Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube. A quick reminder that you can listen to this show anywhere else too. Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, Lockdown Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And while you're making us your first listen, don't forget to make your second listen, Lockdown NBA. From the first jump ball, the play into the last possession of the finals, Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.